Again, Northwest, we're thankful to be here this morning and to be with you. I want you to open your Bibles up to John chapter 10. And I'm going to go a little bit off the scale this morning before we eventually get into what I want to share with you about the Good Shepherd. I want you to notice verse number 19 and following. Verse 19. Because the reason why I want to put this out is simply because of the fact that there is still plenty of controversy going on about Jesus Christ. You know, about what people need to do in order to be saved, about what day to worship on. I mean, as you look at society and all the 1,500 different Christian religious groups, somebody has to be wrong. It's just that plain and simple. And this is where I believe that Jesus is trying to teach us here about how people became controversial over who he was. As you look there at verse number 19, the Bible says, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Verse 20 says, and many of them said he had a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, there's not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? All kind of questions and controversies came about. But one thing I want us to truly understand and come to a conclusion on before I start the lesson is, we really don't know anything about the spiritual world. We only have glimpses of what the Lord has said from his most holy word. If God did not declare his glorious will unto us, we would be clueless, like mindless sheep, concerning the spiritual sphere and the dangers that lurk within if God did not reveal it to us. You all do know the devil is a spirit. I want to make sure we would be totally unaware of who he is if God didn't reveal it to us. See, we only know the physical realm in which we live, in the world which we pursue physical things. And most people, most, I would even say the majority, are clueless of what actually is going on in the spiritual world. Now, God has given us common sense. And we can realize through the common sense that we have that there is something beyond what we see and hear in this world. Jesus said this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 10. Watch what he says here. He says this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The Greek word used here for world is cosmos, the totality of all we see and understand. It means the order of the world. Because the ancient Greeks thought that the world was perfectly harmonized and impeccably placed into order. I want you to understand that the Greek thinking was that everything harmonized together. Everything worked in order. I'm awfully amazed at times when I think about even the trees, how the trees give off oxygen. And what do we breathe? Oh, and we give off carbon. What do the trees breathe? It's absolutely amazing to me how that works together. How everything within this realm works in accordance with will of God. I want you to understand. It means it extends far beyond what we call the Milky Way galaxy, or far off galaxies, even our own universe. This is what this word carries, cosmos. It extends beyond anything that we can see and anything that we know of. Just a few years ago, scientists were saying that there were like 1 million planets in the Milky Way galaxy. Just 2 years ago, they said it was over 300 million. That tells us something right there. Even though we see, we still can miscount everything. Y'all get me? Even the smartest minds that exist in our society can't comprehend the scope of the cosmos. Man is incapable of seeing and understanding the spiritual realms of God. He's incapable. And I've said this once before. I read the book by Roland Mays, Man in Search of Himself. And Roland Mays tends to say that when man flew into space and landed on the moon, he was searching for God. But when he didn't find him, he came back. Can you see why our society is all twisted up? How confused we are about who God is? It's simply because if God did not reveal himself to us, we would think we were God. And when we begin to think we are God, just like I told you a few weeks ago, what happens to men when they fall below beastly? See, when we begin to think that we are God, we fall to another level. And we think we can do what we want. And our God is put in place. Verse number 11 in that verse says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. One translation says that they rejected him. They refused to acknowledge him as God. Even his own people, the Jews, rejected him. A question I must raise. If they didn't recognize, as God. In John 5, verse 39, the Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Even though they read the Holy Script, even though they had the word of God, they could not recognize him, even though the scriptures taught all about him. There are people today that read the scriptures, that can quote the book back and forth, but yet they cannot recognize who Jesus is. Because they're still out trying to fulfill their own will. They're still out trying to do what they think is right, what they think God wants. I'm here to tell you, we cannot give God anything. We have to give God what he desires. And our worship should be according to his word and not what we think he wants from us. Let us assure ourselves of this. But as we continue on, the Bible teaches us there in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, following, he says, But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Brothers and sisters, what he's trying to get us to understand is that these spiritual things didn't have nothing to do with blood. Blood was not involved. Flesh was not involved. Nor even the men of this world. They had nothing. They have nothing to do with the spiritual things of God. They have nothing to do. My point still remains. We cannot truly comprehend the spiritual things of God. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has even entered into the minds of men, for God has for those who love him. Now, I know it's a great mystery, and God has revealed cannot escape that. We need to listen to God. Watch what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Watch what he says. All these things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom soever he was, church, reveals, that's a very important point, reveals unto us. Therefore, if he shows us, if he gives us a glimpse into the glorious life of Christ, and he asks us to listen to him, obey his, the will of God. For if we are not willing to hear God, then we are like lost sheep without a shepherd. Now let me tell you, and I know some of you all will agree with me, is that my life was a whole mess when I didn't know the Lord. We're just roaming around like dumb sheep, mindless creatures. That even when we feed ourselves, because sheep will not look up when they're feeding, they'll fall right off the cliff. Even though wolves are all around, but because we are so into what we are into, and that's the thing about the world wants to distract you from the things that you need in your life. The Jesus, he comes to you with a white collar and a black suit. He's a man of God. Oh. And then he comes along and bites you. Yeah. You say, why is this happening to me? You're allowed to happen because you didn't listen to the Father. Right. You didn't listen to the Word. When we pursue worldly things and not godly things. Unless the Son reveals it to us, we're still blind and cannot see afar. We are mindless sheep without a shepherd. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting around verse number 18, the Bible paints this picture. Listen. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But it is written, I will destroy the wise. Wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this world? Hath not God chosen the foolish, the wise, wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Y'all hear that? By the world wisdom, by the worldly standards, they didn't know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weaknesses of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. When we trust in the wisdom of this world, then you will never understand the word of God. You will never comprehend what God has prepared for them that love. You can't see Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world. That's inconceivable to our mind. We would never sacrifice our God or our children, not even ourselves, for a world free. We never do that. But because of Christ and his sacrifice, we can have a relationship with God. This is the reason why Jesus taught in parables. He gave us something that we could use or relate to that would show us a glimpse of the glory of God, that will show us how much God cares for us. And therefore, he gave parables to teach us God's will and God's love. Listen as we go back to John chapter 10, and we begin to look at verse 1. Watch what he says here. And literally, this was something that the people could relate to. And it's something that we who live in 2018 should be able to understand. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, look at this. Look at it and understand. Jesus says, he that enters in not through the sheepfold. The sheepfold was an area that was penned off for the sheep. Now, they were penned off simply for their protection. And to keep the wolves from getting to them. Now, I want you to look at that as the church of our Lord and Savior today. We are literally fenced in, protected by the shepherd. But yet the Bible teaches us there that people can come in from some other area, from some other way. In other words, I want you to understand today, if we are not a part of the Lord's body, then all these other bodies are here. Somebody got to be wrong. There's only one sheepfold. There's only one way to enter in, as we will see and understand. Therefore, if they get in some other kind of way, and even though they call themselves Christians, remember, we only have one Lord. Right? One way. One God and Father. Ephesians 4:4. Remember that God has only one way of doing it. And because we think something is better than what God has to offer, it does not mean it's right. It does not mean it's right. God will only accept those who hear his voice. And through these people, he reveals unto us if there's a way for our lives. Let's look at the next scripture. Watch what he says. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Next. To him the portal is open and the sheep hear who? The sheep hear his voice. On the Mount Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there, and they witnessed Elijah and Moses, and Peter began to speak and said, let us make three tabernacles. A tabernacle was representation of the Lord's body, the church. And God looked down and heard what Peter was thinking in his mind, and God said, no, no, you hear his voice. You hear his voice. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if we want to avoid the trap, we want to avoid the wolves, we need to listen to Jesus. Amen. Right. We need to listen to him. There's no other fold out there for us. There's only one pen to protect God's sheep. Only the master himself will walk among his sheep. What does the Bible say? Say first. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep do what? Follow. We are not detouring. We are not getting away from what God has placed in order. It would be foolish to turn away from what God has done. You are looking for trouble when you forsake the straight and narrow. You are looking for trouble when you go out there amongst the wolves and they devour you. I'm going to tell you, we cannot deviate from the straight and narrow. Someone will say to me, well, Brother Williams,
one way that we're
that are so persuasive that they are leading people away from the will of God. I pray that we will hear God and not the divine is true for ourselves. But I know we will learn, and they have learned many things to receive God. A few more points, and we're going to be dismissed for this morning. He goes on to state in verse number 12, he talks about this hireling. He says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who owns the sheep, are not seeking the wolf coming. In other words, they're not looking for him. And leaving the sheep. They are somewhere doing their own thing. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The wolf. I bless you, sister. Thank you. stand.